Luke chapter 19, we're going to read two verses from the story of in this passage, they're called pounds. And I know Brother Tom already mentioned he had some notes on Sunday school, and a little bit of this overlaps with this week's Sunday school lesson. And actually, what I'm going to do is pick up from where I talked about last month about account givers. So we're not going to read either the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, which is where you'll be on Sunday, and then this parable of the pounds. I want to use it as a starting point and then continue where I left off last time. So let's read these two verses together. Luke chapter 19 and verse 16, the Bible says, "Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And like I said, last month we talked about account givers, and even as when we finished up the book of Ephesians, talking about servants and masters, how at the very least each of us are responsible for ourselves before God, for the words that we say, for the acts that we do, and we need to be ready. Christ was giving this story to his listeners very shortly before he would be crucified. And he was talking about being ready to give an account to the Lord when he returned, to the master when he returned. So each of us as the creation of God, as stewards of God's creation, as Christians, those that have trusted Christ as our Savior, those of us that tell ourselves what to do, and those of us that are given the accountability or the responsibility to tell others what God would have them to do in whatever area, Sunday school teacher, deacon, trustee, father, mother. At the very least, we're responsible for the account we give to God for ourselves. As the men in both of these stories, in Matthew 25 and Luke 19, they were to give an account to the master for what the master had given to them. So everybody, at the very least, should be responsible for themselves. Remember, God's the judge. God tells us we're not to set people at naught or to put people aside, but he is the judge, and his judgment is the only judgment that matters. He's placed people in our life, his authorities, and we answer to those authorities, and they answer to God. Again, they answer for what they are accountable to God for. And I told you last time, I know you didn't, probably hoped I wouldn't remember, but I told you last time, I pick up where I left off last time. And these two, some people call them parallel stories, but if you look at them, they're told slightly differently. In Matthew 25, the Lord gives two talents, and he gives different amounts in Matthew 25. And in Luke 19, he gives each a pound. He gives them each the same. And they're both a parable. So, but both lords expected an increase from what they gave. They both gave different amounts, but they expected the servant to take what he had been given and invest it and get something back. And both lords or masters did not say when they would return. They didn't give a deadline or when the assignment was due, or they didn't say what they expected. They just said, be ready. Be ready for when I come back. And Christ's point, we think he was trying to make, is that his return is not known. And he says at the end of both of these stories, both in Luke and in Matthew, that the time would not be known, that people thought the end of the world was coming that day, and they thought that Christ was going to set up his kingdom on earth in their day. And he said, I can't tell you when it is, but you need to be ready. And that's where I just want to start, was that 10-talent man, that 10-pound man, the 10-talent man in Matthew, and the man that took 1 pound and made 10 pounds in Luke 19. I don't know about each of you, but that's what I want for my life, not pounds and weight, but I want that return back on what God gives me. And I don't know about each of you, but whatever stage of life you are in, I think you want to be that 10-talent person. You know, whatever God gives me, if he only gave me one, and I know we'll talk about it in Sunday school, but if God only gave me one talent or one way to serve him, I want to make it into 10. I want to make it as much as I can out of what God gives me. And I want to have a 10-talent walk with God. I want God to say, I trust you with my word. I trust you with the talk. That I want to have a 10-talent talk with God. I trust you with your prayer life and with your fellowship and the talking that you do with each other. I want to have that level or that peer, whatever you call it, that level of Christianity that says, you know, God, I want you to trust me enough to give me what you're giving everybody else, and trust me that I'll be ready to return on the investment. I'll be ready to give you back more than what you gave me when you started. And that could be, that should be true for each of us. And tonight I want to talk about that ability to give account back to God. And we'll get to investing it, duplicating it, multiplying it, increasing it for God's glory. Another thing I noticed from both stories is the master didn't say, you add your own to it. The master was the one that provided what the servant should use. And again, God, if we try to depend on ourselves, it won't work. Only what God gives us is what we can turn around and use for him. Can you imagine if somebody said, I want to have a 10-talent mouth. I want the words that I say, the songs that I sing, the jokes that I tell. And there's been many times someone will tell me a joke, and I'll say, you know, I think that was kind of in bad taste. And they'll say, well, it wasn't mine. Somebody else told me that. But that mentality of, God, I want to be responsible for the things that I say, and to say that I take responsibility for them. Imagine if we said my mind. We talked about it on Sunday, but despite how many of us use, you know, 10% of our brain or 2.5 or whatever it is, say, whatever part of my mind, God, that you've given me that I can use, I want it to be a 10-talent mind for you. I want it to be focused. I want it to be ordained or sanctified or set apart for you, investing in God's time and investing your time and your energy and your money into what God wants you to do. Not soiled or settled down or just relaxed, but focused and doing something that God wants you to do. And since, Lord, and in both these stories, Lord, I don't know when you're coming back, so I'm going to start right now. I'm going to get busy on it right now. I want 10 talents. I want a 10-talent walk with God. I want a 10-talent mouth. I want a 10-talent talk with God. I want a 10-talent family. I want my young son, whom I won't call what I think he's acting like right now, I want to get him to the point where where God has given me a precious gift, and I'm ready to give it back to him. I want to increase that in my life. I want to be part of a 10-talent church. I'm not apologetic about that. I don't think there's any church that's there, but I want God to say, when I put something in that church, they use it. They use it for my glory. They get everything they can get out of it, and they increase because of what I gave them. It doesn't just sit there. It gets used. I want to be part of that type of work. I want to be part of that type of ministry. And if any of us get to the point where we say, you know, I'll settle for two. You know, I'll settle for the guy that wrapped it up in a napkin and hid it, and then he forgot where it was, or he brought it all dirty back and said, you know, here's that same one that you gave me when you left. If any of us get to that point where we don't want the 10-talent life anymore, then, as has been said before, then we should just pack up and go home, because it's not worth living that kind of life. It's not worth investing in something that's not going to turn a return. And God's investments always pay off. So before, that's all introduction, but that story challenged me a month ago, this week, getting ready for Sunday school and thinking about, well, I don't want in the in-between zone. I don't want in the guy that had fear and didn't know what to do with it. I want 10-talent level in everything. I want 10-pound level in everything. And I don't want to be satisfied until I've done everything I can with what God has given me. And that's what we have to give an account to God for. And I don't know about each of you, but I want to know God, as we talked about Sunday night, Philippians in chapter 3, when Paul was talking about that I may know him. He said, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And the Apostle Paul was using the illustration of a race, and he was saying the race is not over yet. You know, once you get the winner's circle and pass out the medals, usually the guys stop running. You know, once they get their place and get their prize, they stop. But Paul says the race is not yet over, and forget your own righteousness. He's talking about the other good things that you fall back on. He says, forget those things and press toward the mark. The race is not over yet. And he was saying, you need to be a 10-talent kind of runner, a 10-talent kind of sportsman that's pushing toward the mark, because the race isn't over yet. And if you want to know God, and I want to know God, and I believe each of you want to know God, and we can't stop now and say, I've arrived. Paul said, in order to know him, I had to forsake my own righteousness, I had to forsake my own prejudice, my own accomplishments, and I haven't arrived, and I won't get there until I get there, until I reach the finish line. And again, most of us aren't motivated if instant gratification, if you've already given me everything I'm working for, then what's the point to keep working? And Paul said, that prize that's set before us, we haven't attained it yet. We're not there yet. Hebrews chapter 11, we were there, I think, Sunday morning, but it talks about the different people of faith, mainly in the Old, they're all in the Old Testament. And it talks about over and over again, and you can read it on your own, but Hebrews 11 talks about Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. And it talks about all these people that had the faith to see something that they could not see. The Bible talks about Moses, Hebrews 11, 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So Moses acted like, I see it, even though I don't see it. You know, he was acting on faith. He was pressing toward that mark, looking for something that he couldn't see, but he said, even though I can't, I still see it. And that song we sing, my Lord knows the way through the wilderness, all I have to do is follow. Strength for the day is mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. And I think Moses was another one that said, he might not have heard the story of the 10 talents, but he said, I want a 10-talent trust in God. And he wasn't perfect. We talked about him last month. He was not a perfect person, a perfect leader, but his desire was to follow God. I don't know about each of you in all these areas, but if I'm going to take the one talent, if I'm going to take the 1 pound, I want to get 10 pounds back. If I'm going to take anything, the 5 talents that God gives, I want to get 10. And I want, not only do I want to know God, like the Apostle Paul talked about it, I want to know the love of God. And we talk about in 1 Corinthians 13, the love of God, the love chapter. It talks about that, 1 Corinthians 13:10. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. And again, a verse that talks about something we are looking forward to. And we all believe in that case, we don't understand the depths of the Father's love, the charity that God bestows upon us. And we see in part now, but we'll see in whole someday. But in order to get to that point, the Apostle Paul tells us, in order to get to that point of knowing him, we have to press toward the mark. In order to get to the point of knowing the love of God on earth or in heaven, whenever it finally happens, if we're ever going to know God, if we're ever going to know the love of God and seeing him who is invisible, if we're ever going to know God's love, not in part, but the whole thing, if we want that 10-talent walk with God, that 10-talent talk and that 10-talent mouth and those 10-talent actions and the 10-talent lifestyle, if we ever get to that point, we're going to have to put away some childish things. In 1 Corinthians, he said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. That runner in that race laid aside some weights. He said, right now I'm pressing toward the mark. I can't be focused on these other things. So no matter when that happens, I believe in heaven. Finally, no matter how much we progress here on earth, in heaven we will have an understanding of the love of God. We'll have an understanding of the knowing Christ, of knowing his suffering. But in the meantime, I want to be as ready as I can now. You know, I don't know when the Lord returns. I don't know how many talents I'm supposed to have at this moment, but I want that 10-talent level. The Bible tells us, talking about childish things, the Bible tells us to start our Christian journey as a child. In Mark 10:15, it says, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And each of us need to have the faith of a child. That means the temper and the spirit and the willingness to believe and the willingness to be teachable. The book of Proverbs talks about the simple one, somebody that hasn't been, you know, nobody uses film anymore, but an exposed film and something that hasn't been exposed and written on and written over, that child, that faith, the faith of a child, that's how we come to Christ. But, and that's true, But God does command that we grow. 1 Peter says, newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. When Aaron was born, he loved milk, he loved formula, and he grew out of it. Eventually, he grew and he wanted something else. Now he wants popcorn and macaroni and cheese, and he wants other things now. He ate the milk, and he desired to grow. And the Bible does command us to start as a child, but the Bible commands growth. The Bible commands discipline. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. It talks about you start on a journey and you condition, you discipline yourself. Isaac Watts wrote the song, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? A follower of the Lamb, and shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? And what Isaac Watts was saying, what the Apostle Paul was saying, was if you're in a fight, try to act like you're fighting. Paul said, I'm not just beating the air and making a good show of it. Try to look the part, not just look that way. Train and discipline yourself. Yes, you started out as a baby. Yes, you started out believing in Christ as a child, but desire that milk, desire that discipline, desire the accountability that we already talked about, desire sustaining growth. In Hebrews 5, it talks about switching up from the milk to the meat, and those that become our teachers, not just desiring milk anymore, but desiring the meat of the strong meat of the Word of God. So all of these things that we start as a child, and God comes to us and says, that's great, but I want you to keep growing because I want you to give an account for yourself. I want you to give an account for the things that you learn. In Titus chapter 2, talks about teaching one another. The old men teaching the young men. The old or aged women teaching the younger women. And it talks about speak the things that become sound doctrine. Speak the things that become sound doctrine. Speak the things that become sound doctrine. I've just said the phrase sound doctrine three times, and the more times I say sound doctrine, the more likely and the more often it is repeated, the more likely you are to think it is sound doctrine because it has been repeated. And a lot of the things that we don't repeat and train today, we also look at society even this week and say, wow, somebody dropped the ball there. The things that we don't repeat and become sound doctrine and repeat and become sound doctrine become the things that tear society down. And if it's not the aged, sober men teaching the younger, intemperate men and teaching them how to control themselves, and the same for the women, that education falls by the wayside and those babies stay babies. You know, I expect my son to run into his room and he grabbed his foam sword and tried to beat me up with it. And there are things he does now that if he did when he was 15, we would have a different reaction to it because hopefully by the time he's 15, he will have learned to stop doing that. You know, do you understand that a baby grows up? So the education that God requires of each of us. And then things like honesty and integrity. And again, Romans 13, put on Jesus Christ. You say, well, I'm a dishonest person. In a few weeks, I'll hopefully tell you the entire story of what has happened to me in the last 2.5 days about dealing with dishonest people. I want to find out what the end of the story is before I tell them, because right now it makes me look really dumb. So hopefully it'll work out better and then I can tell you what happened. But put on Jesus Christ. So maybe each of us are not as honest or a person of integrity like we should be. But the Apostle Paul says, walk honestly as in the day. Act like the lights are on. Act like it's broad daylight, even if it's not in your life. Even if you are in the gray area of life, put on Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That honesty that God calls us to be accountable for. And again, my old soapbox, love, forgiveness, mercy. Those things that over and over again I say, you know, if we're going to get anything right, we have to start there. We have to start with forgiving ourselves and forgiving each other, because that's the part that we are here together to do. The rest of it we can kind of do by ourselves at home. But that forbearing, edifying, raising each other up in order to get where we need to get. So if we want to know God, if we want to know the love of God, we have to get ready for the race and we have to put away childish things. So what do we need to put away tonight? First thing, put away wrath and anger. That was all 25 minutes of introduction. So put away childish things. Number one, put away wrath and anger. In Romans 12, verse 19, says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." We talked about it a month ago, but there are things in life that we try to take God's place and say, you know, God messed up here. Saul said to Samuel, you know, "I think God would prefer my sacrifice instead of my obedience." Saul took God's place. Now there is a place for vengeance, and that place is God's place. So give vengeance its place, which means give it to God. That song, "God will take care of you," that's always a beautiful song of comfort. But sometimes I look at people and think, you know what, it's not my responsibility. And "God will take care of you," you know, that's the vengeance. That's God's responsibility. That's not mine. So that's another way to think about when you sing that song. Put away wrath and anger. Put away weariness. And again, I've dealt with a baby. Put away that spirit of "I can't handle it anymore." I used to hate when I was a kid and I would start to cry. I'm talking, you know, 3 or 4 years old, and mom or dad or grandpa or grandma would just tell, "Well, you're just tired." They just say, "You're just tired." And I say, "No." So, you know, I'm really emotional right now. But that weariness that you get from being tired, that weariness that you get from thinking, "I'm all alone in this," are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. In Matthew 11, Jesus said, are you heavy laden? Take my yoke. My yoke is easy. And I think, you know, sharing the yoke with Jesus, he's the one doing most of the work, but Christ is right. He can bring you the comfort. And Paul said in Galatians, "Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." So that weariness, that, I know it sounds silly to say it's childish, but it's a lack of faith. It's a lack of trust. And each of us get there. We need to say, you know, I put that away. I have to put that childish thing away so I can see God's love in my life, so I can see God working in my life. Put away dishonesty. James talked about the envy and strife, and lie not against the truth. Don't be dishonest with yourself. If you got an issue with somebody, Jesus told us what to do. If you got an issue with somebody, take it to that person. Don't be dishonest to yourself and say, "I don't have strife. I don't have these things." Be honest with yourself. Put away that dishonesty. Own the words that you say. Own the things that come out of your mouth. You know, own the things that you write. Own the responsibility for the people that read them. Just take ownership of it. Say, "I wouldn't have said it if I didn't believe it." Own your actions. Stop blaming them on somebody else. Take responsibility for the things that you say and the things that you do. And then put away pride. Pride is anything that keeps you from doing God's will. Twice in James and 1 Peter, "God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." I don't want God fighting me. I want that 10-talent level of Christianity. I want to use everything God gives me. So I want to put away pride. I want to put away the childishness. Mine. Aaron hates sharing with people. But I want to put away that childishness of pride. And the reason we need to put these things away. Jesus said, "You'll do greater works." Jesus expects more of us. He said, "Greater works than these you'll do." God wants us to ask for bigger things. "Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." And God's in heaven. God is with us. And he is waiting for us to ask for something bigger. He's waiting for us to ask for something less childish, something less on our level and more on God's level. And until we put those childish things away, we can't ask for the big things or give Christ what he wants. And we can't give God the preeminence in our life. Colossians 1, verse 18. "That in all things he might have the preeminence." Preeminence means first. First in rank, first in dignity and honor and power. And the only way we do that is putting away the childish things. I don't know about each of you. If I'm going to show up for work and God's going to give me 1 talent or 1 pound, I want to be a 10-talent person. I want to be part of a 10-talent family. I want to be part of a 10-talent church. I want to be a 10-talent servant of God. And I want to clear these things out of my life and to make God preeminent in my life. Humble yourself before God. Say, you know, "God, maybe you only gave me 1 pound. Maybe you gave me 5 talents. Whatever you gave me, I want to make it last for you. I want to be accountable for everything you give me in life." Thank you each for being here tonight.